Welcome to Just a Minute. Is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, delightful and talented players of this game. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Lisa Tarbuck, and seated on my left, Sue Perkins and John Sargent. Please welcome all four of them. As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House. And let us begin the show this week with Sue Perkins. Sue, interesting subject. My philosophy. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
My philosophy is never mock a waiter, because the dish that you ordered is never the one that's going to get put back onto your plate. Once I remember casting aspersions on a pasta sauce. It was whisked from my sight and returned as a green thing. Snotty, some would say. Viscous, certainly. And a certain aftertaste that stayed with me way into the next decade. I know it is important to remain polite, because if you fail to do so, terrible things will happen. My colon is testament to that. It was a terribly silly error, a schoolgirl one. Ultimately, they're doing a good job for the minimum wage. I tip them now incredibly well. It's important that they know they're doing a fine job presenting us.
There we are, Lisa Chan.
Two jobs.
Double jobby.
Two great big jobs.
Two massive jobs.
I'd love to help you, but I'm on two jobs.
That's all right. So have your two jobs and enjoy it.
So, Lisa, that was a correct challenge. No. And in this game, if it's a correct challenge, you get a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 12 seconds available. It's my philosophy, and you start now.
My philosophy is take every day as it comes and gather out of it what gives you bright enjoyment. So, for example, the sun might be shining, in which case you'll take the dog for a walk and enjoy the way that the light is... My tongue just got in the way.
Sue.
Hesitazione.
What's that?
Hesitation.
Yeah.
And also repeat of enjoy.
Well, you can't have 2 points.
Take two off for her being smart.
I'm reluctant to do it at all, because I have to tell you, you've only got a quarter of a second to go. Oh. I mean, Trudy had the whistle on the way up to her mouth.
On the way up, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah, it was.
Whistle in motion.
But I've got to be fair within the rules of Just a Minute. Yeah, it was a correct challenge. So, Sue, you back my philosophy back with you. And if you can say anything, you're one of the few people who could say something in a quarter of a second, starting now.
Socrates!
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. And, of course, it was Sue Perkins. So she's the only one. Well, she's not the only one. Lisa's got a point, and Sue's got two. John, Sergeant, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject is going green. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Going green is very important, but it can be taken far too seriously. People can regard it as a religion, and with these people, I have to say...
Sue, challenge.
There were two people.
Oh, dear.
There's too much people there. Yes, all right,
I'm not doing very well on this. No. I'm green myself, that's the trouble.
No, don't worry, John,
don't
worry.
It's so frightening.
Sue, no! Just...
She's so clever, isn't she?
Would it help if I stopped touching you?
No. In case you haven't already sussed it, listeners, Sue Perkins and John Sargent are sitting next to each other.
I'm sitting on him.
Mm. She's light as a feather. She's just adorable.
Oh, stop.
Oh, you're right. So 53 seconds are available for you, Sue, having got a correct challenge. Going green, starting now.
I almost bought a wind turbine, and as such, I see myself, like everyone, fairly green. It's on my mind that the environment is changing, the climates are altering, the seasons running too closely to one another, but the actuality of it is somewhat stressful. I recently tried to convert a barn, making it as green as I possibly could. Then a government inspector came round, told me I had to triple insulate my windows, and was I worried about my U value? I have no idea what on earth he was clattering on about. Apparently it's the way one measures your environmental capability against others, your neighbours, for example. So I decided to maybe get a couple of solar panels in Cornwall, where the sun never shines, but there are two suns.
Poor chance.
Well, deviation, the sun must shine in Cornwall. People go there for their holidays. You can't.
Yeah, but it don't shine when they do. How many people have gone down there and seen sun?
I think it's deviation to say the sun never shines in
Cornwall. It is deviation, Paul. I mean, I was almost saying, welcome to the agricultural hour. So, Paul, you've got him with the correct challenge. 4 seconds to go. Tell us something about going green, starting now.
As the gangrene set in beneath my kneecap, I realised something serious was wrong. I was going green.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now 1 point behind Sue Perkins, who's still in the lead. Lisa Tarbuck, will you begin the next round? The subject now is the scenic route. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Mum and I like going on trips together, and we found ourselves at Lidford Gorge one day because we'd decided to take the scenic route as opposed to the motorway, and a find it was. It's one... What? Why would I stop on just its? Because you're the kind of people who'll let its go.
Yeah, we let it go.
I know.
Yeah, that's gone, yeah.
I didn't know. I was very, very hard on myself then.
And I'm very sorry.
Actually, it was Sue who challenged us. Sue, what is your challenge?
Hesitation at Lidford Gorge.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct challenge, Sue. 49 seconds. Tell us something about the scenic route starting now.
Lisa is entirely right. The best and most spectacular things in life are when you don't plan, when you take the more meandering way. Perhaps you've decided to go to Knutsford, but you don't want to take the M4. Potter around an arterial route that's less travelled. I don't know where Knutsford is. Is it on the M4?
Paul, your challenge.
I somehow felt I got there just before John. repetition of Knutsford, unbelievably.
No.
Can you clarify where it is, though?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Knutsford, I don't know.
Knutsford is up near Manchester.
Oh, right, because I just...
The deviation was you don't take the M4.
No.
I just wanted someone to tell me where it was.
Unfortunately, Paul picked it up. Explain to our listeners, I nudged John to challenge because he hasn't spoken very much and he hasn't played the game as much as the others, but...
Damage. Nicholas, he's a dancer.
No.
He's a dancer, not a fighter. Rhythm's his master.
No, I just was... I was convinced you could go along the M4 and eventually... You would reach Knutsford. I mean, it's all very well.
It's a scenic route.
It is the scenic route.
So I thought when Nicholas nudged me, I thought he was on his way out, and he was asking. I thought he was asking me to take over. I was quite surprised.
You saw it as a cry for help.
Yeah. your gaze was rigidly fixed on Sue, and I couldn't get you away from that.
I'm always a bit mesmerised by
Sue. John, take over the subject. I'm quite happy.
Would you like to take over the subject?
No, well, I think I have, haven't I?
I don't know. Paul's relinquished it and given it to you.
Okay, what are we talking about?
29 seconds.
I think we're at Knutsford city limits.
Nicholas, remind me where we've got to.
We're on the M4.
Right.
We're looking for Knutsford.
Right.
We don't know where it is.
We're talking about the scenic route. Okay.
John Sargent has the subject.
All right.
He doesn't know what it's all about. because he had a correct challenge.
Right.
And so 29 seconds, John. The scenic route starting now.
The scenic route is, as far as I'm concerned, almost certainly the M4 to begin with. Then, if you're very careful, go on to the M5. Follow it up.
Paul, two challenge. M's.
Repetition of M.
Two M's.
Oh, no.
M4, M5.
It's the most amazing scenes
well,
and getting
I
on
thought
just
I was
minute.
Able
they're
to
throwing
challenge.
Things, they're throwing all sorts of paper now. Paul is trying to reply.
Audience, those are the rules of the game. You've come to watch a game and so forth. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, Paul.
No, why didn't you let him have the subject?
This is the Paul Nazis
was
turn
drawing
I've
your
seen.
Attention to the fact that that was repetition, but he's very keen for you to carry on and have the
yeah.
subject,
yeah.
and so is this audience, because they were getting very vociferous. In fact, they were rising and coming towards me. And so you've got another
it was like
point.
Salem mm-hmm. is what it was like. God, Paul is a gentleman. Mm.
So you've got another point for an incorrect challenge. 21 seconds, the scenic route starting now.
Scenic routes are never on motorways, so I won't be saying anything about those long, big roads that have four or five lanes, sometimes six lanes. The scenic route...
yeah, all right.
Well, we told you to steer clear of the motorways, but you went back.
I said yeah. A roads, John. I said A roads.
So Lisa got in on the lanes, and
I thought you should let John have the subject.
I'm not as generous as you.
No, I'd like to hear from Lisa on yeah. the scenic route, yeah. and there are 10 seconds, Lisa, starting now.
Last week, Pauline Carford and I took ourselves off to Hever Castle in Kent, and what an enjoyable day we had. We could have nipped into.
So Lisa Tarbuck was in talking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and she's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton and Sue Perkins, and John Sargent is just a little way behind. Not very far, John.
Just a little way behind.
No, just a bit
like
far.
Like an hour behind.
You're just taking the scenic route there.
Paul, your turn to begin. Will you take the subject now? Oh, yes, a lovely one. A sort of a comics line, isn't it? A man walks into a bar. A man walks into a bar, Paul. 60 seconds, starting now.
A man walks into the bar and he says to the landlord, he said, excuse me, a rather strange thing happened to me just down the country lane. He said, what do you mean? He says, about 5 miles down the road, my car suddenly broke down. I was lifted up the bonnet, I looked inside, suddenly I heard this voice, said, check the carburetor. I look and there it was. That was the mistake. I fixed it. I looked up and there was this horse looking straight at me. I thought, it's extraordinary that this equine's given me motoring tips. So I said to the man who was the hostelry owner of this particular place that I'd been in, and he said, that's extraordinary. What colour was his four-legged? Oh, in there! Oh! The punchline is there!
That's me. That's
who would be so mean-spirited?
John Sargent.
Oh, really?
Right. It's
payback
time.
Paul, give
time.
Us the payoff to the game.
He said, what colour's the horse? He said, brown. He said, you're lucky it wasn't the white one. He doesn't know anything about cars.
So we give Paul Merton a bonus point for keeping going so well on the gag, in spite of being interrupted and getting a big laugh, even though he didn't get to the payoff until he'd come back to it again. And, John, you had a correct challenge. Mm. And you have...
What was the challenge?
What is the challenge?
It was repetition.
Of what?
I can't remember. It was extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
Of course it was.
I think the rules collapsed when...
That's what it was. It was extraordinary.
It was delightful. 29 seconds, John. You've got a point for a correct challenge. A man walks into a bar, starting now.
A man walks into a bar and he wonders to himself, what on earth am I doing here? And it was a very strange place because all of it was covered in black. And he thought, well, this must be the strangest place that anyone would want to drink in. And what made it also more strange... Oh.
Has his batteries run down? What's that?
Sue, you challenge.
Repetition of place and also strange.
That's right. You can only have one point, though. You have a man walks into a bar, 60 seconds, starting now.
60?
Someone's reset Nicholas.
It's the very thing this show fears, a time warp. We're going to play this round forever.
I'm sorry, John.
And he says, you're lucky it wasn't the white one.
I walked into a strange place, it was black, it was strange, it was a place.
No, I'm sorry. John's delivery has sent me into a sort of time warp. And I thought we were back at the beginning. And we're not. We've got 10 seconds left, Sue. And you've got A Man Walks Into a Bar, starting now.
Man walks into a bar and says, ouch, end of. It's the fact that we get used to the repetitious nature of jokes, like the Englishman, Irishman, Scotsman, the knock-knock jokes.
Poor new challenge and touch to touch before the...
Repetition of knock. Very
knock, yes. And you have a quarter of a second. And a man walks into a bar, starting now.
A man walks into the bar, he says, you're lucky for some white horse.
Sir Paul Mutt was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's increased his lead slightly over Sue Perkins, Lisa Tarbuck and John Sargent in that order. And John, we're back with you. Oh, this subject is right up your street. Go with it with style and passion, please. Current affairs. 60 seconds, starting now.
Current affairs often has no style or passion. It can be incredibly boring. It's neither current nor is it about the really interesting affairs that people have. No, it can be just very dreary stuff, like warmed-up mashed potatoes. But it's liked by the BBC and by ITV, and in fact, they make special programmes devoted to this particular subject. I don't normally enjoy them very much. Because it makes me go to sleep. And it's not just Paul Merton who finds these programmes rather difficult to cope with. It's almost everybody.
Nurse, he's out of bed! Nurse! He's out of bed again!
So you challenged
was that a
before.
Challenge? Was that a challenge?
Yes, sorry. I have narcolepsy and I think they just I just set it off.
Yes.
I think there was a slight hesitation, actually, just as I buzzed. There was a long pause. Admittedly, it was because there was a lot of laughter going on, but there was a 2.5-second pause.
The awful thing is... I have to tell you, I switched off, I don't know.
My concern is that people will be doing it in their hundreds of thousands. If you've switched off, Nicholas, and this is the only job you've got, if you've switched off, then there's no hope for the rest of us.
No. We need you to stay focused, Nicholas, right, and lead us out of this. So,
what's your challenge, then?
There was hesitation.
All right, hesitation. 23 seconds. Sue Perkins, current affairs, starting now.
Current affairs, or the news, as our slayabouts call it, has a scattergun effect on my brain. I watch an awful lot of it, and yet only a few things stick within. I know there's been an oil spill. Don't tell me where. Knutsford, I heard, although don't ask me how to get there. Absolute nightmare on the M4, clogged up with people all trying to find their way out of it. I know also that Iran is trying to enrich some uranium, which I gather may well leave...
So Sue Perkins was then speaking as the whistle went and she's moved forward. She's only one behind our leader, Paul Merton. Sue Perkins, will you take the next round? The subject is, oh, one of my favourites, butterflies. Oh, tell us something about butterflies in this game, starting now.
When I see Nicholas Parsons, I get butterflies in my stomach. There's something about the silver...
Paul Challenge.
You said he makes you sick. You never described as butterflies in your stomach before she did, Nicholas.
It's a fine line. It's a fine line between lust and terror. And
actually, if you had butterflies in your stomach, you would be really sick, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would.
You don't want to eat them, do you?
Yeah.
You don't want to eat them, no. I mean, some of them are endangered, Nicholas.
Yes.
And they're very hard to trap.
And they're dying out. Some species have disappeared altogether.
Yeah.
That beautiful Camberwell beauty, gone now, not to be seen anymore.
Welcome Where to another edition of Let's Say Goodbye to the British Butterfly.
The Painted Lady, which was so popular in the Sussex area, has almost gone.
Yeah, that's
and,
well.
Sue, it was an incorrect challenge, so you have a point for that. And still with you, Sue, starting now.
The enfant terrible of British art, Damien Hirst, recently did an installation involving butterflies, which broke my heart. In their natural state, they are the most colourful and beautiful of all God's creatures. However, he trapped them, killed them, lacquered them in gold and nail-gunned them to a piece of MDF. Well, congratulations, sir. You really have established yourself as a man of rare terrified taste and beauty. I suspect it was post-rationalised, and he could talk to critics and say, ah, what I was trying to do there by murdering all them butterflies was showing how beauty really comes from...
Poor chance.
That's a shame, because it was a repetition of beauty.
It was a repetition of beauty. Mm. Those are...
But I think you should let John carry on with the subject.
I don't think you want us to play just a minute. I think you want us to just want to listen to other people talking about things. That was a correct challenge, and that's the rules of the game. And, Paul, you listened well, and you got in, because she goes so fast, you have to listen well with Sue. And there are 22 seconds. You tell us something about butterflies, starting now.
It was a hit sitcom in the 1980s, starring Wendy Craig, written by Carla Lane, and I think Jeffrey Palmer was in it as well. And it was a magnificent situation. I loved it as a programme. It was a very gentle touch, but also a wry look at this woman growing up with a family who felt trapped by these people around her, kith and kin, who wanted to see what the life was like on the other side. Was the grass green?
Right. So, Paul Merton was in speaking as the whistle went. Gained an extra point. And with some lovely, colourful stuff there, he's moved forward. But he's still 2 points behind Sue Perkins, who's in the lead.
Hello.
You are the most vociferous audience we've ever had.
I think they're patronising us now, though. They've got it in their head that this is fun.
Because we're moving into the final round. Oh. Yeah, that's a different sound. Right.
I know it seems like it might never have gotten here.
Let's see who's got the final subject.
Well, it's John.
There's a lot of cheap unfairness here. Have you noticed?
But John, we can only laugh because we love you. So, John, it's your turn to begin. So, we'd like you to take the subject now of the cleaning rota. 60 seconds starting now.
I'm not surprised that I'm given the cleaning rota as a subject. It normally goes to the person who's not really liked by the rest of the panel and is not very sparkling. I'm not the sort of person to get upset about that kind of thing, because if I did...
Lisa Chan.
That's deviation, because he clearly is. It's upsetting me now. I don't like seeing upset.
I don't like seeing upset either.
It's upsetting me.
Yeah, let's get on.
I don't want the subject.
She doesn't want the subject.
I want John to have the subject.
Darling, listen, I'm running the game. Just let me make the decision. I quite agree. It doesn't matter even if it's true what you said, he can still say it within the rules of just a minute.
Yes,
and therefore, he can express whatever words he likes, yes, as long as he doesn't deviate from the cleaning rota. John, you still have the subject. And you have another point for that, of course. And you have 45 seconds. Keep going. Here we go. The cleaning rota, starting now.
When I was a little boy, I would go youth hosteling. And if you remember, what used to happen at these establishments was that you would spend the night, then you would have to do something horrible the next day instead of having to pay for your night's accommodation. And so there are all sorts of jobs you might have, and one of them was the cleaning rota. And some of the places you had to clean...
Paul Jones.
I think we should give John the subject.
He's got the subject.
He's got the subject, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a challenge with the rules?
No. I got a laugh out of it, and that's all I'm worried about.
John, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that.
Mm, OK.
And you keep the subject.
Thank you.
21 seconds still available. You started with it. You're going very well, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
The cleaning rota starting now.
The point about cleaning rotas is that they do...
Oh, no, my mistake. I thought that repetition... You're allowed to say it because it's on the card. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Got another point, John? 18 seconds. The cleaning rota starting now.
The cleaning rota.
Hesitation.
No. Another point to you, John. Another point. 16 seconds. The cleaning rota starting now.
To do well at the cleaning rota.
Sue Chalmers.
Is that deviation, Nicholas?
Why? Any reason?
Just deviating from any sense of time or place. Floating ethereally as I am now. Just vacantly.
I think you've gone onto another planet.
I haven't.
So, John... You might be surprised to hear you still have the subject. 13 seconds on the cleaning rotor, starting now.
The cleaning rotor is one of those appalling things which...
Lisa Chan. Appalling from before.
You didn't say appalling this time. And you've only got 9 seconds of a... Oh, I'm getting hysterical. The cleaning rotor, John, starting now.
The cleaning rotor is meant to be unpopular, but I've always rather enjoyed it.
Paul Charles.
Sorry, I actually couldn't hear any of that. I couldn't... For a professional broadcaster, I thought that was quite a worrying trend that I couldn't actually hear a word he said.
No, but I'm sitting closest, so I vouch for that.
OK, and, fair enough.
And so he gets another point, John.
Yeah, thank you.
And you have 5 seconds to go. The cleaning rotor starting now.
The cleaning rotor is sometimes seen as very difficult, but it isn't for me.
Paul, did you ask?
Well, we had difficult before. Repetition of difficult.
No. There is only half a second to go, and John Sargent hasn't played the game very much. He's getting a lot of practice right now.
It feels like he's been playing it for years.
And they've been very generous to him all along, and they're going to continue to be generous and say, John, you have half a second to go on the cleaning rotor, starting now.
The cleaning rotor.
So John Sargent was endeavouring to speak then as the whistle went, so he gains an extra point for that, and you might be surprised to hear he did gain an awful lot of points in that round. Yeah, yes. It was different, but it was well played. But he's leapt forward, and he's now actually equal with Paul. And nobody has ever got 8 points in one round before. But John achieved it, so that is the first for just a minute. And Lisa Tarbert was just behind them in third place, but 1 point ahead of our equal second, John Sargent and Paul Merton, was Sue Perkins. So we say, Sue, you're the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say a final thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Lisa Tarbuck, John Sargent and Sue Perkins. I also thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with great style and panache when the 60 seconds had elapsed. We thank our producer, Talusha Galani, who does such a wonderful job. And also we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to this lovely, vociferous audience here at the Radio Theatre, who cheered us on our way magnificently. So from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and this wonderful team, goodbye, thank you, but tune in again, listeners, the next time we play Just a Minute.